Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer while we're standing. Father God, we love you. We praise you. And Lord, we know that you are a good God. Lord God, we know that there's none good except you, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you. We worship you and we love you. Lord, you've granted and shown us your goodness continually, Lord God. Showed us your mercy, your strength, and your power, Father. You've revealed yourself in us and through us, Lord God, and made eternal life acceptable and livable and holy, Lord God. We love you and we praise you, Father. We stand here tonight before you with a thankful heart of gratitude and love and honor and respect towards you, Father. Have your way in this service. Utilize this vessel, Lord, to speak your word, Lord God, to your people, Lord God. We ask you, as John the Baptist said, that we decrease and you increase, Lord God. Father, we come with a hunger, an expectation, and a thirst, Lord God, for your word. And Father, we see your word. It says that these things, and you promise it, if we would come in such a way that it would, and we would be satisfied and fulfilled, Lord God. We love you and thank you. Have your way. In the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You want to be seated? Appreciate all the condolences and thanks for the loss of Irene's brother. I thank you on behalf of her and myself of your kind acts, provisions, and things that you sent over. And we do most definitely thank you and appreciate that. Ask you to continue to remember family in prayer that they can find the comforting power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, I would hate the thoughts of grief and grieving without the comforter, you know, and there's people that do. They go through these things without the comforting power of the Holy Ghost. But I thank God for the faith and hope that we have in Christ, amen, of life eternal, amen, knowing that God has granted us eternal life. Got good peace in my heart, comfort of the Holy Ghost, amen. You know, folks, I could say this, that a lot of people comfort one another in funerals and at different times as this. My son-in-law made a statement here not many days back. He said, well, I've never been to a funeral, and the preacher said, well, this individual's in hell. You know, it wouldn't be probably too much wisdom. People are grieving already, and there's no need to add any kind of grief to such a thing as such. But I could say this, that it's wonderful to know when you know that somebody has made a preparation and they found the mercies and the grace of God, not by no way of earning their salvation, but found it by the Spirit of God. God granted repentance unto them, and you find a peace that makes it very nice, comforting, you know, when you see them passed on from this world. Amen. So we could rejoice and praise the Lord. Amen in that. You know, Jim hasn't done anything that Lord tarries that you or I isn't going to do. That's what it's all about. This whole world, everything we do right now in this life, everything that should be in speaking in preparation of the day. You say, so that's all we got to look forward to, Brother Rob, is death? Well, if you would come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would come to an understanding to know that you have already passed from death unto life. And as your natural terminologies and your natural thoughts and different things, you would say, well, my wife might say, well, my brother Jim just died. But that's not biblically sound nor correct. You know, people lack understanding. And even though we, because we are people or natural, and we just kind of hear these things so much of our lives, that we tend to speak like that our own selves. And we have to be very careful of what we say and how we say it, because Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. There's so many things that people that number themselves in Christianity speak and say that is really disrespectful and very error or wrong to the gospel and the scriptures. Very common statement made in the churches is people say, well, I'm a sinner and sin every day. That's gross error. Christians are not sinners. They're sons of God, children of God, saints of God. Sinners are heathen people. Jonathan used an expression the other day. A man was blind. He gets his eyesight. He don't go around telling people he's blind no more. He said, I was blind. I was a sinner. Very good expression for an example, what the Lord used and showed him. Yeah, you were blind. Yes, I was blind, but now I see. You know, I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. Amen. Sinners, their father's the devil, according to the Bible. My father's not the devil. My father's God. The spirit within me cries, Abba, Father. It doesn't offend me nor alarm me when people use improper terminologies. We need to speak more correctly, more according to the Word of God. Even a lot of the gospel songs that people sing, and we as Christian people, we sing songs sometimes that are so incorrect and improper in the expressions and terminologies and things that are used within the song. We'll do some reading here in the scriptures. Let's go to the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, and we're going to turn over from there in just a moment to another passage of scripture. Let's go down to the 19. says, then answered Jesus, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soweth he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. That should be our testimony as well. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, if you read verse 24, it's speaking of something present. It isn't saying that it's something to come, it's something present. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and that hear shall live. Before I go over to some more passages of Scripture, some things, and I can take you to the Scripture references, but the Bible speaks about people that are walking on the earth that are dead. So now we're talking about terminology of standard thought. Now, if you would interview or talk or find the average of things and talk to people or whatever and say, well, where are dead people at? You know, the common answer would be they're in the cemetery. You know, some might say, well, some are in heaven, some are in hell. There's no dead people in heaven. And the people in hell wish they were dead. You understand that? Because they think what people think of dead, well, dead is, you know, they have no feelings, they don't this, they don't that. Somebody in hell in torment would say, boy, I wish I could find death. The Bible says that they seek after it and cannot find it. Now, the Bible said that some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. The Bible talks about being full of dead men's bones. So there's a lot of things that people need to understand and learn to understand the Bible and the gospel. You see, even in times of such, when you have loved ones that would cross or pass or however you want to express it, or as your terminology say, have died. You know, there's things that would comfort and be more comforting to know if you realized or knew that in Christ there's no such thing. Amen? Because we have passed. We just read the scriptures there. We have passed from death unto life. Amen? Now, if there's some that walk among us that are dead, as the scriptures say, twice dead, the Bible talks about a second death. And you say, well, what would that be referring to? What could that be, a second death? Now, I could talk about me. I've already died. My Bible teaches me, I can take you to the scripture reference, I've been crucified with Christ. Galatians, the second chapter, says I've been crucified with Christ, but the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. So I'm talking, nevertheless, yet I live, but I'm telling you I'm dead. So you see, if I, by chance, the Lord prolongs or tarries, and I've found myself that I had given up the ghost, in whatever means of way, if it's through illness or some tragic thing as an automobile accident, or whatever it be, what kind of death would that be? You know, some would never, you say, would even see that second death because we've passed from that unto life. Amen. What I'm speaking about is terminology and understanding. Turn your Bible over just a couple more chapters and I'll read another passage of scriptures to you here that we can consider. John 11. Now, this is a very talked about, spoke about, preached about passage of scriptures here. Let's just go to the first part of chapter 11. We'll read just a little bit here. It says, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. See, somebody could stay here and look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, oh man, he was missed it. That man was a liar. He told that woman that it wasn't unto death, but the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. It looked like it moved him too much, did it? He stayed there for 2 days. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Okay, now this is the Lord Jesus speaking here. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. And said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He had to bring it to their understanding, for they would know exactly what it was. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then saith Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. But Martha sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then were with her in the house, and comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he hath been dead for days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus hath spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed on him. I'm going to stop reading right there. I know that's a bit of reading. One of the things that I wanted to most definitely speak about there was where the Lord was speaking, and he wasn't in error. He knew what he was saying. He was speaking about Lazarus not being dead. He said he was asleep. I could take you to many passages of scriptures where it speaks about sleep. It talks about sleep with the forefathers that have gone on to sleep. The Bible talks about what we call the Thessalonian change. It talks about some that were asleep. So we find in many passages and many scriptures. Now the reason that we would consider ones that have gone on, many of us have many loved ones that were in the faith that have gone on, and we refer to them being in sleep. When we go again to the Bible and we read these types of scriptures, we see this is the proper terminology when we speak about this. Are you in sleep? gross error when you say to people that they're dead. Well, we see the Lord Jesus here. He said, okay. He spoke to him. He said, okay, Lazarus is dead. Because they were questioning him, saying, well, wait a minute, why are you saying he's asleep? It's been 4 days that he's been, you know, in this tomb. You remember with the young gal, when Jesus went in to raise her from the dead, he said the same thing. That was asleep. And some of them grieved the Lord so bad that he ran them out and made them leave and raised her forth from what you would say is from the dead. The thing is that when we talk about passing from death unto life, you see, one thing that you have to realize, that you were born into death as a man. You see, that is where death lies at. But when you're born again, it's something different. You're not born into death. There is no more death when you're born again. When you're born of the Spirit of God, there is no more death. So when we come to a revelational understanding, we've known that we have already died the only death that we're going to die. What was the purpose of baptism for us? To bury the dead. You see, that was the whole purpose of baptism, you know, was to bury the dead. You see, so when the Bible teaches us again so clearly, it says, you know, again, I've crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But the life that I now live, I live by faith. So we're talking about the life that we're now living should not be our own. It's now Him that lives. Now the thing is the Bible teaches us to mortify the flesh, this man, every day. So now we're going to talk about a daily dying, and we talk about a daily resurrection. I'm going to be caught away to the throne of God on a daily basis. I'm going to be caught away through prayer. I'm going to be caught away by fellowship with the Lord, thanking on the things which are from above. Now, going back to what we just read here about Lazarus, when Mary comes to the Lord Jesus and says, you know, well, you're speaking about the resurrection over at the last day. And the Lord Jesus made very clear, I am the resurrection. So you see, we've got to learn to understand the Word of God. Now, I could take you to a passage of Scripture that talks about God. We say God was. How many of you know who God was? Oh, I know that He come and walked among men. The Bible says God was, God is, and God is to come. Well, which one are you serving? Are you serving the historical God that was? Are you serving the historical God that took and parted the Red Sea? And you say, well, yes, I am. Well, I hope you know Him in a greater way than that. You know, the Bible puts these accounts in the Bible for our faith, puts these accounts in the Word, for we would know that God is the same to every generation. We have to know God after and understand that He is the same God that parted the sea, the same God that made us provisions for the Hebrew children when they're out there in the wilderness for the 40 years and their clothes didn't wear out and different things, the same God that parted the Jordan River that they could go forth across on dry ground there. It's the same God, you know, the man that we're talking about, He's the same God. God. But then we only know Him as the God that was. So when she questioned, say, well, are you speaking? He said, I am the resurrection. See, they needed a resurrection right then, didn't they? They needed a resurrection. He said, I am. You're not looking for me to become the resurrection. I am. Now the thing is, see, we've got to bring this understanding to a present day truth, a present day application, a present day thing in our life. If God is a God that was working miracles and a God that was and a God that done these great things and great exploits back then we don't know the God that is. If we talk about the Holy Ghost being the comforter and He comforted them back in that day and hour, then we don't know the one that is now. And then we say the one that is to come. And you see, this is the problem in Christianity in so many cases. They talk about the God that was doing all the things and the God that, of the early church and the God that worked miracles and the God that raised the dead and the God that healed the sick. And then they say, oh, praise God, He's coming. Boy, someday the eastern sky is going to roll back like a scroll and Jesus Christ is coming back. Boy, that's the God that is to come. The Bible said God was, God is, and God is to come. You see, they're all right. And they're telling you the truth. Yes, one day He's going to roll back. But the church has misunderstood that. The communities of the church, the Christian leadership, the ministers and stuff, they're all talking about God coming. Oh, praise God, He's coming. And the Bible said a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. And look at the condition of religion in this day, because they're talking about the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Well, is He coming, Brother Rob? In that sense, yes, He is. In that sense, He was too. So we're talking about, yes, God was and God's going to come. But what about God is? You see, when God is your God, you see, when you believe that God is in the flesh, you see, if you don't believe that God is in the flesh, then you're Antichrist according to the Bible. Well, God was in the flesh. No, the Bible said if you don't believe that God is, it didn't say that God was. Oh, I believe that Jesus Christ was God. I believe that God in the flesh and God walked among us, walked among men. I say, praise God, that makes me not accurate. That's not what it said. It said if you cannot believe that God is, not was or is to come, God is not coming back in this flesh, in the flesh that He walked in then. God is now in the flesh. Do you realize that? God is now in the flesh. If you don't believe that God is now in the flesh, then you're Antichrist. I could take and read it to you in the scriptures. It's not too far from right here where we're reading at. Let's read it. I believe it's right here in 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is verse 2, hereby know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Didn't say was there. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come and even now already is. That kind of clarifies it right there. And even now already is. You know, let me say something about that for a minute. We'll pick up the thought. But you see, this is the problem when people start speaking about the Antichrist and start speaking about the Christ. Now, most people got the Antichrist as something futuristic. Oh, I know that someday, man, this demonic devil, this devil spirit is going to personify itself, or he's going to come into some man over here in the Middle East. And he's going to rise up and he's going to set up, roll over here, and he's going to go into the temple of God. You know, and this great blasphemous thing is going to take place, the abomination of desolation. He's going to set himself up there in the temple to be God. This is what people speak about. And they talk about what country he's going to come in. And he's going to come over here in the Middle East and this and that. Hey, they're talking right. You know, they say, well, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, why do you gaze here into this air? In like manner that you see him, he's coming back in like manner. You know, say amen. You know, so is that what we're waiting on? But when he comes back in like manner, he's not coming back for the church then. According to the Bible, the church is coming back with him. That's coming back for the Jew. So why is all the preachers preaching this, talking about this? He's coming back to the natural people. But we're the sons of God. We're in the Spirit. Why could he not be coming back for you and I? Because where he is where we already are. So how could he come get us if we're where he is? Well, where are you at, Brother Rob? I'm in heaven. Now see, people will think I'm crazy. I know, but see now, I could understand somebody disputing. I hear somebody say something like that, I'd want to run. But see, we got to understand. You see, Jesus was both Lord and Christ. That's what the Bible says. This isn't some Rob Coombs theory. I'm just telling you the Bible. He says both Lord and Christ. He's both Son of Man, Son of God. That's what the Bible says, right? Okay, I'm both Son of Man, Son of God. So I can speak to you like a son of God, and I can speak to you like a son of man. I can speak to you because that's my father back there, and I can say, hey, there's my dad. Brought me into this earth. I was formed in iniquity, shapen. You know, it's appointed unto man to die. That's the way I'd have to speak to you as a man. It's appointed unto me to die. And then the judgment of God. So now that would be very weighty for me to come here and say, oh man, oh wretched man that I am. Oh poor me, I'm going to die. Oh me. You know, you'd say, man, I don't want to go to that church. Guy wears me out, man. He makes me hurt all over and this and that. Okay, but then yet I say, hey, praise God, I'm a son of God. I'm passed from death unto life. I'm living forever. I can't die. You say, I like that better. But then people find fault with that. What do you mean you ain't going to die? I had a Baptist woman come over to the church. She said, well, that preacher's going to be surprised one day. Says he can't die. Well, I can't die according to the Bible. Well, he's going to have a rude awakening someday. No, I'm not. Did I say that there's a possibility that this flesh man can't be thrown in a box? But that's not death. According to the Bible, that is not death. It's sleep. The Bible said for me to be absent from this body didn't say that was death. It says it's to be present with God. To be present with the Lord. So how can I say to be absent from this body, I'm going to say, oh, I'm dead. Hey, if that's dead being with him, boy, I'll tell you. To be absent from this body, I'm with him. That sounds to me like a positive thing. Amen. This old body, man, it talks about the woes and the sorrows and the pain, the suffering, the misery. Jesus said his life while he was in this body, he used the body to come and manifest himself to men. He said, man, you know, he talked about it being vexation of the spirit. This thing's weighty. This thing's heavy. This thing's a burden. And the spirit, boy, it's here and gone. I mean, it just by thought, it could be from here. You know, they're talking about shooting a guy to the moon. While they're talking about it, you're there. You understand that? That's some difference in the spirit. But there's a body. So see, there's a thing. There's a great liberty being delivered and set free from this pest house of affliction. Thing relative to the earth, relative to corruption. So we got to ring the bell between the spirit and the body. The body's relative to the earth. The body goes to corruption. The body dies. The spirit is eternal. The spirit lives forever. So I could speak by a born again spirit. I could speak after Christ. I could say, I cannot die. I'm living forever. I'm eternal. Nothing could be laid to my charge. I can't sin. You see, that spirit, man, is pure, clean, perfected. It's perfect according to the Bible. It's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You understand that? This is what the Bible says. But now we talk about the man, it's a different thing. So I got to ring the bell between those two. And this is the things that we need to understand. So the Bible says, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. I don't want to speak to you as unto men. I don't want to speak unto you as unto naturals. The man's mind is contrary to God. The carnal mind, man's mind. The Bible said the natural mind, it's contrary to God. It's death. But the mind of Christ is life. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. We need the mind of Christ. We need to think like Jesus. We need to think about life. We need to think about being eternal. We need to think about the things above. We need to think the things that are good, the things that are pure, the things that are virtuous. This is what the Bible teaches us. So then we have this hope. We have this hope in Christ. We have faith in God. Amen. This is where we need to live. This is where we need to dwell. And our thoughts in Him. Think on these things. Amen. Then we find strength. We find power. We find the anointing of God. We find comfort. Amen. Because we don't think like men. You see, men, the way man thinks is death. The way man thinks will destroy you. The Bible says He'll give you the fruit of your thoughts. Again, as I said a moment ago, Jesus is the high priest of my profession. He is the high priest of that. So what is my profession? I've passed from death unto life. I cannot die. I'm eternal. I'm hid away in Christ. The Bible said that we're dwelling in heavenly places. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, but you're on earth. I am. Well, where's Jesus at? Well, where two or three of us came together, He said He's in the midst. So when we came together in His name, did we get caught away into heaven or did He come down to earth? Which way is it? Are you sure you know where heaven's at? Somebody point to it. Well, I know it's up. Well, then the guy in Japan, when he's pointing to heaven, he's in wrong and you're right. Is that right? The guy in Japan saying, oh, he's up. You know what's that way, guys? That's right, darkness. Every way you point on this round globe and you got it's pointing into outer darkness. So where is heaven at? The Bible said the kingdom of God is within a man. Is that where heaven is? Well, who all dwells down in there? You see, there's concepts of thoughts that people don't really understand. And they don't know. The Bible said we're encamped around about a great cloud of witnesses. Where are they at? They're all around about us. If you came together in the name of the Lord and I came in the name of the Lord, He said He's in the presence. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, the Bible also says that when the sons of God came together, that the devil was there also. Well, I can believe he's here. How come you can't believe God's here if you can believe the devil's here? How'd the devil get here? I got a thing back there in that bathroom called a mirror. Turn on the light, walk in there, and you'll see him every time. Say, I don't like that. Well, what if I said, go in there and turn the light on and look, and you see Jesus? Well, I kind of like that. Well, it depends on what kind of eyes you're looking through. You might see him if you're looking through the right kind of eyes. And you might see the devil if you're looking through the wrong kind of eyes. And you might see him if you're seeing through the right one. So which one is it? Got to make yourself twain. If you're yielding your members, what would Jesus, when He looked at Peter and said, get you behind me, Satan, what was He looking at? Was He looking at Peter? Was He looking at Satan? Was He looking at God? Which one was He looking at? Because later on, He was speaking to the very same one, or right before He said to the one, He said, get you behind me, Satan, He said to him something before that. He said, this was revealed to you by the Father. This was revealed to you by the Spirit. Man, what a great testimony that he had of this man and turned around and called him the devil. So what is it? You see, brothers and sisters, we need to understand things by the mind of Christ and by the revelation of the Lord. You know, we got to learn how to let him be the high priest of your profession. So what is your profession? I'm eternal. I can't die. What is our profession? To comfort people. What is our profession? Jesus is real. He's alive. Jesus is good. Jesus' word is accurate. It's real. It's alive. It's power. You see, then we can find comfort of the Holy Ghost. Because we comfort ourselves with the gospel and the word of God and knowing where we're at. If me being absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, then the only thing that would be grievous is maybe to you. You understand that? Which people comfort each other with that. Just with Irene's brother, they say, well, he's no longer suffering. I say, yea and amen, he's no longer suffering. And people comfort one another. When we think of the hope that we have in Christ and we start coming to revelational understanding of the word of God and we know that we pass from death unto life, we know that we can't die. We know that this number of days on this earth is numbered. It's here for a moment, then it's gone. The Bible said it's like a vapor and a mist. So then we have to find what is the reality of life. Where is life at? What is life? We think of temporal life. Then we start thinking of telestial and celestial and mortal and immortal. So what are we, brother? And where are we? And when does this start? Some people say, well, you know, when I die, I'll begin eternal life. Well, how could that be? Something eternal always is. Eternal isn't something that has a beginning or an end. Jesus had no beginning or no end. And he was the firstborn of many brethren. So the thing is, did I have a beginning? Do I have an end? See, people think that Jesus had a beginning when he was born in Bethlehem. And he come and was birthed there, and they say that was the beginning. No, that wasn't the beginning. And some say that Mary was his mother. But the Bible doesn't teach that Mary was his mother. He had no mother nor father, is what he said. And even when they brought Mary to him, and they said, your mother and your brothers here to see. And he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother except these here? And he pointed to his brethren. So what is it? Did he have a mother or did he not have a mother? Does he have a father or did he not have a father? You know, I know the Bible says that the Father, we just read it in the scriptures, that he had his father and his father was God. And you're sitting here saying he has no father. This is confusing to me, you might say. It's not confusing at all. We have to understand things. See, if they throw me in a box out here and bury me, and you say, that preacher said he would never die. And you might be confused about that. I'm not confused about that. Not any confusion in that. Because you're just looking at the vanity. The Bible said that this flesh is vanity. It's a lie. And we're not supposed to know a man after the flesh, is what the Bible says. Now, if I know my brother-in-law after the flesh, I'm going to be grieved and saying, man, you know, this guy's dead. I'm sorry to be using this man as an example, but he's a perfect example. It just happened. So, but I'm not to know him after the flesh, and how am I supposed to know him? By the Spirit. What is the Spirit? It's life. It's eternal. It's holy. It's godly. It's pure. It's clean. It doesn't have no problems. It never had no problems. It never sinned. Oh, wait a minute, man. He was my brother. He was my... And I know, man, he had problems. He done all this. He was pure and clean without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. I'm just telling you what the works of Jesus done. The Bible said not to know him after the flesh. I don't know him after the things of a childhood, after the things of the alcohol, after the things of that. Jesus knew him after that. Jesus said, hey, this man's got a sentence of death on him. And Jesus took that curse to the cross of Calvary, that death. And he took the penalty for Jim Robbins. He took it for Rob Coons. And he took that penalty of death and was smitten on the cross of Calvary that we could have life and eternal and abundant. And he was married unto him. And the only way that he could be married unto him is by him being clean and pure without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Don't you believe the Bible? That's what it says. He's without spot. He's without wrinkle or blemish, or the Lord couldn't have married him. Well, how did that happen? Jesus died for him and shed his blood and wiped the handwriting of offense away. He removed it and took it away from him and granted life to him. It wasn't by his goodness. It wasn't by his works. It wasn't by anything that he could do. It was by the goodness of God, by the mercies of God, and made him pure and clean. And if Jim Robbins can't make it in that way, then you got no hope, nor do I. You see, it's by the grace of God, by the mercies of God, by the goodness of God. We're not saved by works, we're saved by his grace, by his mercy. Amen? Amen. He'll call it forth in our lives to bring fruit of repentance. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. Sometimes God could be merciful enough to allow a man to go through suffering, that he could get a chance to get things right. Is that what happened with him? I leave that with him and God. I found peace there. Amen. Okay, so we're talking about rending the veil between the flesh and the spirit. We're talking about rending the veil between a man and between the Son of Man and the Son of God. Jesus made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man, Son of God. There was one that cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hanging there on the cross of Calvary. Was that God crying out or was that the Son of Man crying out? The Spirit of God had to pull away from that and the Son of Man's cried out. Let God pull the Spirit away from me, you'll find that man crying out, oh God. You see, we got to understand that. We need to see that. We need to understand that. See, people say God died on the cross of Calvary. Well, who taught you that? Are you Catholic to teach such a thing? Are you such a thing to say that Mary was the mother of God? That's Catholic. That's not Bible. Mary was the mother of the Son of Man, not the mother of God. Had to make himself twain, both Son of Man and both Son of God. You say, well, I'm not sure, man. I have troubles with that. Well, you need to read your Bibles and learn to understand those things. The only way you'll do that is by coming to revelational understanding. Then you can keep things in an order. Well, who died and who screamed on the cross? Who gave up the ghost? The Son of Man came and died and took the penalty of death. God can't die. God's eternal. God's the Spirit of life. God cannot die. God's the Spirit of life. You understand that? So then when you become one with him, the Bible said we're joint heirs with him. We become one with him. We become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Now can you understand why you've passed from death unto life? Can you understand why he cannot lose a one and never lost a one? Can you understand why that you are eternal, sealed in, hid away in the heavenlies? Can you understand that you can't die nor sin? Because sin is the sting of death and sin is death. So the thing is, you know, the Bible says, oh grave, where's thy victory? Death, where's the sting? There is none to the Son of God. It's gone. It's taken away. Amen. Because we pass from that. This is why we preach. This is why we teach the gospel. This is why we preach the gospel. We can have faith in God. And then we can have an insurance and a hope. And He could be our profession. If we're professing death and we're professing being a sinner, then there's something wrong. That's an unbelief. Unbelief doesn't know God. But you see, even when Jesus spoke to the Lord right here to the Father, when He prayed right there, He knew that it was going to be granted unto Him. It said that. It showed it very clear. He knew that He was coming forth out of the ground. He knew that Lazarus was coming forth. It wasn't like maybe it could or this or that. It was a positive profession of Jesus Christ and the works of the Father. Amen. You understand that? And this is what you got to have. If Jesus Christ is the high priest of your profession, then how can you poor mouth God? How can you keep speaking death? How can you keep speaking Him as unbelief? How can you keep saying that you're a sinner and sin every day when He came and said He died for you and He took that and took your sins away? Either He took your sins away or didn't. If you're sinning and you're a sinner, it means He didn't take the sins away. And if you're continually sinning and you're continually calling yourself a sinner, then that means you're not of Him. Because the Bible said, ye that sin are of the devil. That's what it says. Your father is the devil. I had a preacher get mad at me for preaching this. He said, you can't say that you don't sin. I sure can, sir. And I said, well, let me ask you, are you a sinner? And he said, yes, I sin every day. And I said, your father's the devil. And he got mad. He wanted to fight with me. The preacher did. He got mad at me. Can you imagine that? I guess it's just me. I just have a way of getting them mad at me, huh? I didn't say anything that I thought. I just spoke what the Bible said. It's exactly what the Bible said. I can turn you back over there and read that to you, too. It's right there in one chapter previous where I just read that. It's what He said. You're the sinner of the devil. Your father's the devil. So which one are you going to believe? The Bible said, blessed is man who God doesn't impute sin. There's going to be people who have sin imputed to them. They're not blessed. They're going to hell. I was born as a sinner. I was born into sin. I was shapen in iniquity. That was my father right there. I was birthed after him with the sins of death appointed unto man to die and in the judgment. Well, guess what? I've died with Christ. Guess what? The judgment's already come. He took the judgment for me. But what about judgment now? The Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. Why do the preachers teach that we can't judge today? The Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. The Bible said ye that are spiritual judge all things. So then now let's think about that for a minute, saints. So judgment begins here in the house of God. The Bible said that all the judgment was left unto the Son. I just read that to you, didn't I? Where's the Son at? The Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. All judgment was left to the sons. The Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. What Son was He talking about? Oh, He was talking about the Lord Jesus. Well, I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. The Bible said it's no longer the minister speaking, but it's Christ speaking through Him. So where's judgment at? In the house of God. The Bible said some men's sins go before them and some after. You better hope that it goes before them and the judgment comes now. What happens when they reject the judgment from the house of God? Then they stand the judgment on the other side. Some before, some after. On the other side is eternal damnation cast into hell. Judgment on this side is the purging fire of the Holy Ghost, purging the sin out of your life. You see, the chastening of the Lord takes, and the fire purges you now. John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to unlatch His shoes, but He'll come and baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That fire purges out the dross and purifies that gold. We're people tried in the fire. Any of you been in the fire? Amen. Hey man, we know that doctrine, boy. I can tell you what, amen, hallelujah, I know about that fire. I tell you, I know we know about that fire. Amen. I know about that fire. You say, well, you preach that fire, brother. You come up here and preach this. I say, I live in that fire. Amen. The purging fire of the Holy Ghost that's purging us and keeping us. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I just say this, that we need to learn the word and we need to be careful what we hear. We need to take heed to the things that we hear. We need to be careful what we speak. If He's the high priest of your profession, you need to be careful what you speak. If I tell you that I'm a sinner, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ didn't do His works, or I haven't come to the revelation of it yet. But when I tell you that I come to the revelation of Him, that He died for me and took my sin and put it as far as the east is from the west, how far is that from one another? Long ways, ain't it? I was a sinner, born into sin. If you say you have not sinned, you're a liar and deceive yourself. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, I was a sinner. I was born into sin. So all have sinned. Yes, I'm not disputing that. I understand that. But I was a sinner. Old things have passed away, the Bible said. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That old creature in Christ, that old creature, that man part, has been crucified with Christ. It no longer lives. Now I'm the new creature in Christ. I've been resurrected. The one was buried in the watery grave of baptism and done away with, and there was a new one resurrected with Christ. Now, I could say just like Jesus did, He is the resurrection. I could say that I am the resurrection. And you say, well, how can you say that? Because I'm in Him. And He said that. He said we were caught away with him and to dwell in heavenly places. That's what he said. He said that we're caught away with him. Where I am is where you shall be. Amen. And so we're caught away with him. Where's he at? He's in heaven. Where are you at? I'm in heaven. You say, well, if you're in heaven, brother, what? If you're going to sit here and preach a gospel that you're in heaven, then there's nothing to look forward to and no hope. Exactly right. I've already passed from death unto life. I'm eternal. I can't die. I can't sin. I'm fellowshipping with the Father every day. I'm talking with him and fellowshipping with him. I mean, what is there to look forward to? I'm eternal. I'm living forever. Amen. You say, well, I just don't understand that. Well, I do know this, that I'm in this tabernacle that's been purged and cleaned by the cleansing and the fire of the Holy Ghost, and this Spirit is living and dwelling at to bring the love of God to humanity and mankind, and one day I'm going to be set free from this. Yes, I understand that. You know, so I understand that there is going to be a difference when you step into that spirit flesh. The Bible talks about a telestial and a celestial bodies. So the thing is, you're looking at the one that's telestial, one relative to the earth, one relative to corruption, the one that ages, the one that pains, the one that aches. I know what you're looking at, but that's the lie. That's the vanity. I'm speaking about the eternal one. I'm talking about the life. That's what I'm commanded to preach about. I'm commanded to talk about the eternal things. I'm commanded to speak about the spiritual things. I don't need to remind you that you're ugly. I don't need to remind you that you're growing old. I don't remind you that your hair's falling out. I don't remind you that your teeth are getting loose in your head. I don't remind to tell you about the pains and the aches. You know all about that. Why do you want to come to church? I want to talk about the things of God, the things that are eternal, the things that are heavenly, the things that are pure, the things that are godly, the things that are righteous. That's what I'm commanded to do, to stir up that pure hope in you and Christ. So why would you come to church to hear about all the aches and the pains and the bumps and the bruises? Jesus talked about it a little bit, full of vexation of the Spirit. So how do we speak? We speak by the Spirit of God. We speak by the works of Christ. Is he going to come and die for you? You see, if you need healing in that physical body, is he going to go get beat upon a cross for you again? Is he going to be nailed to a cross again? Is he going to take the whip again? No, by his stripes we are healed. So we speak when we even need physical healing. We speak it by faith in a completed work of Christ. I am healed by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. By his stripes, it's not that I'm going to be healed. By his stripes, I am healed. And you say, well, if you're not healed, you're lying. No, I'm speaking by the truth. The lie is what you're looking at, the sickness. So we got to learn to speak by the word of God. You see, they questioned Jesus. Well, you said that he's asleep and he's dead. He wasn't lying. He knew exactly what he was saying. And he called him forth. Amen. I am a son of God now. I'm not waiting to become a son of God. The Bible said now. It didn't say, you're going to be sons of God. It said, beloved, now. Beloved, now. Beloved, now. Ye are the sons of God. Amen. Okay, are sons of God waiting on anything? Are they looking for anything? Are they wanting anything? Are they desiring anything? Are they in need of anything? Are they lacking of anything? No! There's no lack. There's no want. There's nothing. We've got everything that pertaineth unto life. You see, the Bible says, you know, speaking of hope, you know, if I got this Bible, I hope I get a Bible someday. I hope I get a Bible someday. I hope I get a Bible someday. And you say, Brother Rob, you got one! Oh, hey, I got a Bible. Hey, praise God, I got a Bible. You see, when you have it, it's not a hope. You see, I'm not hoping for eternal life. I am eternal life. I'm not hoping for a resurrection. I am the resurrection. I'm not looking for God because he lives in me. He dwells in me. He sups with me. He walks with me. He talks with me. You see, let's get real, folks. Either this Bible's real or it's a lie. Either we're walking in the Spirit, we're fellowshipping in the Spirit, we're talking to God, communing with God, fellowshipping with God, we're hid away with God, or His Word's a lie. And I know it's not a lie. Because God cannot lie according to this Bible. And He's given us everything to pertain to life. Let's get real. Let's get real and know who He is. Let's get real and get real with Him. Let's quit getting out of these religious games and things. And just, you know, well, you know, thus, thus, thus. Let's get real and know who He is. God is alive. Amen. God is good. God's everything. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
I get excited talking about things of God. You know why? Because it's real.
Amen.
Some are trying to convince themselves. Some are trying to convince themselves of hope. Some are trying to convince themselves of salvation. Brother Wayne come by to see me today. He said, you know, Brother Rob, it took me until I was 69 years old to get born again, he says. He said, I sit in church with people for many years and think that they got salvation. Think that they got the Holy Ghost. Then they think this and that. And he goes, but you know, when you get it, you know you got it. He said, it's different. I say, praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know how many people, how long does it take for a man? And I say, well, brother, you know one thing, when a man comes to that kind of a revelation, then he can understand maybe the preacher sometimes. Because, you know, let me tell you something. I have people come and say, what about this brother in the church, man? He lives like this and he does like that and this and that. But, you know, if I think and God comes and brings a 69-year-old man in my face, I say, man, it's different now. You know, I received the Spirit of God. You know, these things have been taken away from me. And I come to a revelation that I was the one that was wrong all the time. I was the one. You know, it wasn't this man and it wasn't that man. It wasn't as me. You see, that's revelation right there. Because when you got the Spirit of God, nobody's going to affect your day. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter if the whole world falls and 10,000 at your right and 100,000 at your left. You're saying, man, I'm walking in the power of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And everything, you got a whole different thing. You know what? A son of God isn't affected by all the things around about him. And you say, well, Jesus right here wept. He sure did. What was it? When he was talking about being the resurrection and talking about raising him, what was weeping? You see, you've got to ring the bell. I find grievances in a man part. I find sorrows. I find heartaches. I find these things. But we got to draw from the spirit world, the spirit of power, the spirit of life, the eternal spirit of God. You understand that? And it's contagious. Hey, doom and gloom is contagious. I remember going up here to a little meeting place with some people. And man, they started going through this list this long of all the dope they was taking. Yeah, I'm taking, you know, tetrahydrocycline, cyclene, testing, you know, big old long list, you know. And oh yeah, I heard over here and this one. Oh yeah, man. And I, you know, this all about my age. And they went through this list. Oh, you know, I'm taking this, I'm taking that. And I got, oh, my back, oh, my feet, oh, my knees, oh, my neck, oh, my head, oh, my allergies, oh, my this and that. My God, I needed an ambulance by the time I got out here. And you say, that's not funny. But I didn't think it was at the time either, because, man, I said, oh, yeah, my back hurts real bad, man. And, oh, man, you know. You understand what I'm saying? But you know what? That's the state of fact. They give a person a pill called a placebo. You know what that is? It's nothing. It's a pill, and they put a capsule, and they put nothing in it. They might put some kind of sugar in it. They might put something in it. And they say, here, take this. It'll make you feel better. And do you realize that 50% of the people or 60% of people take that thing, go over and say, whoa, well, I feel a lot better now. A lot of things happen right here through a state of thought, through a state of mind. Thinking on the things from above, thinking on the things that are eternal, thinking on the things that are pure and holy and godly and rich. You know what that does? It makes you all those things. It makes you one with Him. You know why rich people are rich? Because they think like rich people. Do you realize that? That's the only difference between a rich person and a poor person. And you say, that's not the only difference. The only difference is one's got money and one don't. I'm telling you that rich people think differently than poor people think. And you know why many of them are wealthy and rich? Because they think that way. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. He had a testimony, didn't he? Amen. He had to borrow an ass to come to town. Huh? What do you think of that? He had to borrow one. But what was his testimony like? He had a good testimony, didn't he? See, people got to learn to think differently. I'm not going to get into no positive thinking and all that kind of stuff, because the carnal mind can think positive, but that's not the kind of positive I'm talking about. I'm talking about the mind of Christ. It thinks different. The Bible said the mind of Christ is contrary to the mind of man. It said that God's thoughts aren't your thoughts and God's ways aren't your ways. And we got to learn what His ways are. You know, when a preacher's preaching to you about giving, you know, you're thinking, well, he's a preacher. He's teaching you to give for you and give to him. No, that preacher needs to be the one giving. And most of the reports that I get about some of the things that these preachers are giving, they're not giving, they're receiving. They haven't come to revelation it's more blessed to give. They come to revelation that it's more blessed for you to give to them, but they've never came to the revelation it's more blessed for them to give. Where are they giving? I remember when they done an investigation on Benny Hinn, that this little church right here almost gave as much money into the mission field. That's what that man done was brought in $94 million or something. I think that's what it was, or more than that. And well, you know what that is? That is a shame. Well, you say, well, why do you have to bring those things up, Brother Ron? I'm just talking about the scriptures and the word of God and about what's come forth in this end time and what people are doing. They're teaching a prosperity message, but they're not fulfilling it. We've got to learn to walk in the scriptures and in the word of God. And we need to be sowing, giving, and receiving the word. We need to receive the word, the blessings of this world. Let's stand together. I appreciate y'all coming out this evening. Let's sing All Praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, we need to get real and we need to pray and we need to start casting out devils. Amen. And we need to start taking authority over the things. Amen. We could be lascivious. We could be lighthearted. And we could just sit back and fellowship and laugh together and watch our loved ones be cast into eternal damnation. Amen. Pray, believe, and trust Start talking to the Lord. Start talking to the devil. And start letting him know that you have all power and you have all authority over him, and that he has not have no power in your life, that he cannot lay anything to your charge. He cannot touch you. He cannot harm you. But you need to let him know. Amen. The Bible said, draw nigh unto God and resist the devil and he'll flee. Amen. I love y'all and appreciate you. Pray for me. And when you get done praying for me, start all over again. I need lots of prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll get my dad to come up and dismiss us. God bless y'all.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.